I'm Sarah Lipman. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Mishlei, Proverbs, Chapter 7. The main theme in this chapter are the lies that our minds tell us, the tricks our desires play on us once they start chasing a taiva, an indulgence, and how far those lies are from reality. In this chapter, we have the word bayis, house, or home, 6 times. That's 6 times more frequently than in the rest of the book, and 5 times more frequently than the word appears throughout Tanakh. Unless stated otherwise, we will be using the teachings of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch as the basis for our study. What is a bayis, a house? A person has, essentially, 3 protective wrappers, all beginning with the letter bayis. The letter bayis is the 2nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It makes the B sound, like the letter B in English, and the name bayis means bayis, house. The first protective wrapper of a person is their basar, the flesh, the physical body itself, which houses the spirit, like a spacesuit allowing it to be protected and supported during its activities on this planet. The second protection is the begid, the clothing, worn close to the body, protecting and presenting a person, body and spirit, to the world. And the third level is the bayis, the home, the sphere, the personal environment, in which the individual is supported and protected in their development, in their individual growth, in expanding their individual identity to encompass and include others, their family. A bayis is the sphere in which people carry out their activities and live their lives. Just as there is a bayis in the dimension of space, there is a house in a dimension of time. That would be the period of time in which a person or a nation or a generation is active, living their lives. Each generation adds a layer to this house and time, setting stone upon stone. So, for example, we have Beis Yaakov, the house of Jacob, Beis Yisrael, the house of Israel, including all generations that realize the ideal of Israel bequeathed to them by their ancestors. Our introduction to the idea of bayis, a house, comes in Bereishis chapter 6, where God says to Noach, "Aseh lecha tevas atzei gofer, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Kinim taseh es hateva, make the ark comprised of enclosures. V'chofarta osa, and cover it, mi bayis umichutz bakofer, inside and outside with pitch." So the word bayis, in its very first presentation to us, means inside, within, and a protected space, a safe haven. The next use of the word bayis is also in God speaking to Noach, in chapter 7, verse 1 of Bereishis. Vayomer Hashem leNoach, bo ata v'chol beischa el hateva. God said to Noach, "Come, you and all of your household, into the ark. Ki oscha ra'isi tzadik lefonai bador hazeh, for I have seen you as righteous before me in this generation. Come inside with your family, beischa. Come." God's presence is inviting Noach. Noach is an individual person, a righteous person, who's going to plant the seeds of all future life on earth. How will he fulfill this blessing with his family, with his household, with his bayis? By creating an environment in which he nurtures the individualized development of his children and all humanity by extension. And that will be broadened to include all the animals and the future of the world. At the Exodus from Egypt, God took slaves, no property, no community, no family life, and turned us into an Am, his people, his nation. And to build that nation, God took individuals and gathered them into families, with the command, "On the 10th of this month, they shall each take a lamb for each Beis Avos, each parental home, Se Labais, a lamb for each home." This is our declaration of independence. This is the birth of our nation. Our nation is built of families, each family unit, each household with their own home, protecting and dividing it from the others. And what binds the families together? What creates the nation of them? V'im yim'at habayis miyos miseh? If the house is too small for a lamb, then each person should reach out to the neighbor near his home and take according to the added number of people. If my home, if my household are blessed with abundance, we have more than we require, we are obligated to reach out and connect with others who don't yet have. From a sense of security and abundance, from the care for our homes and families, from the shelter and security of our homes, we share with others, we reach out, and we connect. So at this moment, as the Jewish people emerges into new life, each house, each bais, each family, each tribe as a community it is, and as individuals, connect to God and to one another. The minimum definition of a bais, a home, is walls to define the inside of the home from the environment outside of it, and a roof to protect the inside of the home from the elements, the harshness of the world. When distilled to that bare minimum, we see a familiar pattern. The moment of birth of the Jewish nation is the creation of the family units, the homes. The Talmud teaches that there were three mizbechos, three altars upon which our work could be elevated, that our ancestors built in Egypt. The first was the door lintel, the mashkof. Second and third were the two side posts, the mezuzos, of the doorways. The lintel, defining the leading edge of the roof that insulates the inside of the home from the outside. And the mezuzos, the doorposts, defining the beginning of the walls that mark off the space of the individual from that of wider society. All other sanctuaries, all other temples, have been lost to us over time. But the homes which we built that first Pesach, the angels, the divine forces we invite into our homes, affection, freedom, justice, brotherhood, cooperation, and trust, the home and the spirit of the home are ours forever. They are the secret of Jewish immortality. No matter where we are, from our homes, we can reestablish our homes, even in the most solitary tent, even the most solitary person. Where this really stands out is at the miracle of Hanukkah, which came through one small cruse of pure oil and through one small family, Matisyahu and his children. In his collected writings on Hanukkah, Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch writes, "One single pure spark, loyally treasured in but one single Jewish heart, is sufficient for God to set aflame once more the whole spirit of Judaism. One little crucible of oil, one heart in a forgotten corner, has faithfully remained untouched and undefiled. This one cruse is sufficient to become the salvation of the entire sanctuary. Ner ish uveso. Kindle the Hanukkah lights, each person in their household. In your own home, there shall be light for you and your house. Our salvation has not issued from temples in the past, nor will it now. Deliverance will always come from the home. The light of Matityahu the Kohen Gadol and his family in his village home became the salvation. Do you therefore kindle light in your own home. Do not regard your home with unconcern. Even if you yourself were the only one who still preserved the spirit of the Maccabees in your home, remember, a single Jew, a single Jewish household, is ultimately in itself sufficient to serve as the foundation of the entire Jewish people. When you kindle ner lechol echad ve'echad, a light for each and every person, that each individual person in your family has light, then the light of Judaism will continue to shine forth. Let it shine in your doorway, let it shine through your window, and the friendly, joyous light of God that reigns in your home will reach out to the homes of others who have less abundance, inspiring their own homes. You may be proud of the fact that your home testifies the Jew in you and your household. The profound power of a Jewish home doesn't require a higher level of meaning or mashal. We can understand that a home is defined by its inside, by its interiorness. But it's worth noting the parallel and the correspondence between a home with its private inner space and the Holy Temple with its private inner space. Truly, every person, everything in this world has a bais, an inside, a private place where its true identity is and where the inner nucleus of its life force is born. With this in mind, let's take a look at the verses in chapter 7 that feature the word bais, home. Verse 6, Ki bechalon beisi ba'ad eshnabi nishkafti. From the window of my house, through my lattice, I looked out. Verse 7, Va'ere vafsoim avina bavonim na'ar chasar lev. And I saw the gullible ones. I saw among the youths a lacking in understanding of heart. Verse 8, Over bashuk etzel pina, passing through the marketplace near her corner, the corner of the prostitute. V'derech beisa yitzad, and striding towards her house. Verse 11, Homiyahi visorares. She's tempestuous and rebellious. Bevesa lo yishkenu ragleha. Her feet are never at home. Verse 19, Ki ein ha'ish beveso. Halach b'derech merachok. She says, the man is away from the house. He has gone on a distant journey. Verse 20, Tzeror ha'kesef lokach biyado liyom ha'kese yavo veso. He took his money bag in his hand. He will only come back to the house at the appointed day. Verse 27, Darchei sha'ol beso. The ways of her house lead to the grave. Yordos el chadre maves. They descend to rooms of death. What a contrast. All the glory, the power that a Jewish home can be, a sanctuary in which each family member is safe and loved, loved and valued as they are, given a safe, warm, nurturing environment to grow, the building block of a nation, the source of all its power. What a frightening contrast of everything a home should not be. What a catastrophe of life snuffed out, a home that kills those within it, never fulfills the potential of a home that could have nourished and given life for its family. It's unspeakable. When for a moment a person abandons his home, thinking to find quick comfort or pleasure in another man's home, then what should be a bais, a safe shelter, a place to grow, a place to be cherished, instead is a trap of doom and death. Perhaps we can gain a level of insight in Shlomo HaMelech's description, where he opens saying that he could see the scene playing out through the window of his home. What's the significance of the scene that Shlomo sees, this naive boy running towards the home of the prostitute, beyond the obvious insinuations of what's going to happen in there? Her home is her space. The world is going to be viewed within the atmosphere of the house. And once he goes into her home, his perspective is going to change. He'll see things as she sees them. He'll believe he's stuck forever. He's trapped. He has no way out of the pit he's dug himself into. It is Beisa, her house. She is mistress there, and it is her attitude that fills the space. Shlomo HaMelech has a different perspective, though. He's looking out the window of his own home. He's in a more wholesome, better space. It looks entirely different from in there to how it looks to the boy down in the prostitute's home. The place we put ourselves, the place we allow to identify us, has a very powerful influence on how we see the world and how we see our potential. Are we trapped? Are we stunted? Are we stuck? Or can we make our home a place where we can grow and find the freedom to become all of our potential? What do we put into our home? What atmosphere do we create there? Is that home where our identity gets formed, shaped, and influenced a place where we're stunted, where we're brought down, pulled down? Or is it a place where we can discover our goodness and allow it to flourish and grow? Where we can discover the goodness of the other people in our homes and allow that to flourish and grow and become strong. Thank you for studying together with me. Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.